Hey, Broadway fans, we're back for week two of the new year of Broadway Breakdown. We're going to be talking The Sound of Music again, but this time the film version, so don't go too far.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Broadway Breakdown.
Yeah.
Aww. I feel like we should be twirling, but I can't because I have a cord.
I know. Just sign. There we go.
We're totally twirling. We're totally magical on a hillside in Salzburg, Austria.
Lip syncing master right there.
I've seen this movie like 80 bazillion times.
Also, I don't think any of us want to try to out sing Julie Andrews, so we're just going to stay quiet.
Yeah, that's a no.
Yeah.
Usually we'll try to sing along sometimes. Right now.
Right now we're just kind of like mimicking, yeah.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Broadway Breakdown. We, of course, like we just talked about Julie Andrews, are talking Sound of Music, the film. Amazing, amazing film. And great way to start off this new year with all this nice positivity.
Yeah, nice, this nice beautiful Nazi fighting.
Hey,
we'll need
family.
It later.
Song. Family.
Music.
Take it to Jack and go negative.
I know. God.
It's not just negative. They escape the Nazis in real life and in the film.
I know. But I was just going positive with like the family and nice, happy, and you're like, Nazis.
They fight the Nazis. It's part of the film.
I am your host, Brianna Phipps. You guys can find me at bphipps14 on Twitter and Instagram. And I am joined here with a lovely full cast. And Jackie is back, as we said.
Yes, we are doing Rent later in our season this
which
year.
Which is why she had
which
to
is
go
why
watch
I
it.
Had to go see it, because they had a really good deal.
That's awesome.
Did you get any mean tweets? We told them to mean tweet you.
No, I did not.
Damn it.
It's because people love Rent.
Yeah. People were probably like, you know what? It's all good.
Yeah.
She had but to
like,
miss.
You take that 1,240 minutes or whatever it is. I was just
hoping I had influence over people. Apparently I don't.
No, it's just that people love Rent.
Yes.
Anyways, Dakota, where can they find
What's
you?
What's up, guys? You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
And Jackie.
I'm 123 Jackie B on all platforms.
And Becca Brown.
Hi. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Becca B Talks TV.
And Mark J. Freeman, who was with us last week, is really sorry he couldn't make it this week, but he is with us in spirit.
Yes.
A lot of the things he said, it was so funny to me because Mark kept saying, I don't know if this is true, but it all was true. So yeah. I just want to reaffirm that.
That he was true. And of course, we have our lovely musical goddess in the booth, Miss Alexis Torres.
What up? I'm actually twirling in the booth right
As
now because I have the room to do so. So I did it just for you guys.
You're twirling for all of us.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I might have fell and now I have cords wrapped around me, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah. No big deal.
Fun fact about that opening number is that it was actually, the weather was terrible. So they had
That's why if you watch it, there's sunny and then cloudy. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
There was like a quick patch that they had a close up on her where it wasn't raining.
Uh-huh.
And then I guess they like kind of.
Well, because they had used a helicopter for that one shot. So it had to be nice. Because
right.
of that. But she also kept like falling over because of the helicopter. So they kept being like, damn, we have to redo
wow.
this take.
Cool. I did not know
it was
that.
Very close.
Yeah, she was on the mountain for like hours waiting for that one sunny shot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yay.
That's crazy. That's dedication.
Fun.
I love finding out little things like that where you're just like, oh, you watch a movie, you take for granted the scenes. You're like, oh, that was like nothing. She was standing in the field, whatever. But like going back and like hearing those things, you're like, wow, like dedication, like people really put a lot of effort into this one little shot.
Mm-hmm. And this is 65 before, you know, they had enough technology to not do a helicopter in her
to
face.
Just like screen
you know?
Screen it over or do yeah. a drone or whatnot.
Yeah.
Seriously. That's crazy.
It was a guy literally hanging out the side of the helicopter with a camera.
So a guy risking his life hanging out of a helicopter. Great.
But I also like that it's such an iconic scene, too. Like, we use it in everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Family
it's
Guy
that,
does
it's
it
that meme. Like,
yeah, the meme. Yeah.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The meme, who gives a fuck, this is how many fucks I give.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So
Which
I love
Which, ironically, apparently Julie Andrews was, like, had a really terrible, like, sailor mouth is how they put it on set. So she was, like, swearing all the time.
That is funny. I would not expect that.
Yeah, I was
Well, Maria Von Trapp didn't, she can't. Her, the character didn't swear.
Right.
It was, like, cut and swear.
Yeah.
I just feel like Julie Andrews is, like, portrayed so differently for everyone who watches her movie.
She was, that Disney Sound of Music, she was
Yeah.
That, person,
I couldn't picture that.
Why you didn't see
I mean,
it
she was Mary
visually.
Poppins before this, so she
yeah.
was practically perfect in every way.
Yeah, she is perfect.
Well, she practically is perfect in every way.
Yeah.
I think the swearing just adds to her perfectness.
I agree.
Okay, that's true.
I agree. Imagine that her swearing is also really pretty because just she has like that really great British
voice. Oh my gosh, yes. She probably,
like if she swore at me, I'd just be like, huh.
Do it again.
You'd be like, you're Julie Andrews, you're a legend.
Like, I'm not even mad. So let's just go into our overall thoughts on this film. I know we three talked about it somewhat last week a little bit because most of us have seen the film. If not the play, we saw the film first. Mm-hmm. Jackie, what about you?
I love this film. It's probably one of my favorite films of all time. I grew up watching The Sound of Music, and I saw, like most people, I saw the film first, and then I saw the play, and I saw the play because I kept telling my parents I wanted to see The Sound of Music, so that's how I got to see the play. But I was living in Germany at the time. I lived in Germany from when I was 5 to when I was 10.
Wow.
So when I saw the play, it was a local production in Germany, and I lived in Germany in the 80s, so it's like, obviously, Germany by then had become an ally of the United States. Clearly, I'm not that old, you know. but it does have a certain meaning when you see people in places that you've been. I went to Salzburg as a kid. I never did the Sound of Music tour, which I'm still a little sad about. But, you know, you don't get to make these decisions when you're 8.
Right.
But I had seen those places, and you see people. I wore dirndls, which is the
is
traditional.
That the little
it's the traditional,
strap thing?
Yeah, the Got traditional it. German.
I was
or
wondering
Austrian
what that was called.
German outfits, yeah. There's
because I know lederhosen is the bottom part.
Lederhosen is what the pants that the boys wear, the short pants with the straps,
okay.
And then dirndls are the dresses that the women
Got
are
it.
Wearing. Yeah, and so like we had those. I was trying. I've been begging my mom, like, find pictures of me in a dirndl, and like she's not responding to my texts.
Aww.
So. That's why you're not getting those.
Come on, Mom.
When she eventually sends them, she'll
right,
post them
Right, when I post this on Facebook and call her out, and then she's going to be like, oh, I feel really bad about that. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
I have the
then
same
hopefully
problem.
Hopefully she'll respond.
My parents won't send me throwback pictures of me. Yeah.
I think I get one at least daily.
I'm opposite. I'm like, don't send me pictures of me when I was little.
Well, when I need them, like, I just don't get responses.
Well, Becca... You're just going to have to go back to Texas and yell at your mom.
My mom lives in Orange County. She has no excuse.
She has no excuse. I do want to go into the characters a little bit into this film, especially because the actors made them so iconic.
Mm-hmm.
And let's start, of course, with Julie Andrews, who played Maria Rainer in the film.
I just want to say I'm so happy for her. Like, she won the Academy Award for playing Mary Poppins, mm-hmm. and then this one...
She was nominated.
And she never got to be in the My Fair Lady film, like, years earlier, because she was in the original Broadway cast. They cast Audrey Hepburn, who couldn't sing, and then Audrey Hepburn got nominated but never won an award for that role. And then, finally, I feel like this is Julie Andrews' comeback for getting ousted from a role that she should have had mm-hmm. in the first place.
And also, she was almost going to turn this role down.
What?
She thought it was too much like her Mary Poppins role. Because when she did... First of all, when she did this film, they were talking about Grace Kelly and Sandra Dee for the role because she was unknown. Because mm-hmm. she had filmed Mary Poppins at this point. She had filmed another film, I think, too, but they hadn't been released yet. So people didn't know her yet. And then when they did offer her the role, she was like, I don't know, it's a little too much like Mary Poppins. Like, she didn't... want to get that typecasted role,
mm-hmm.
but luckily for us, she decided against that.
And yeah,
took
I'm so
the
glad
role.
She did because I mean that would have sucked. Like we would have never.
And you know what's funny is watching this, I was thinking because I was thinking of that anecdote where she's like, you know, in this similar kind of role where she's a nanny mm-hmm. or a governess.
Yeah.
But the characters are very different.
Yeah. Yeah,
Maria is like does not have her. Shit together, you know, she's
Maria's
combative.
Like Maria's like a lost child trying to find her way, and Mary Poppins is very much like,
Mary Poppins
I know
knows everything.
Every confidence.
Yeah, exactly.
Mary yeah, she Poppins. Has to sing the song I Have Confidence in Me just to remind herself
that
she
has
confidence.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then
right.
Mary Poppins is already
like,
confident.
All
she doesn't
you
have
wrong.
To sing.
Right.
I'm right.
But both characters do carry a carpet bag, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see what she was thinking, but I think
Me
she
too.
Made the smart decision because when you are, like, one thing that I hate about entertainers sometimes is that they get this mental thing where they're like, okay, well, I've done this, this, and this. Yeah. Maybe I should just turn this down because maybe I'm better than that type of thing, which obviously she didn't do because she took the role. But like a lot of people do that and they get in the moment, but then later on they wish that they would have taken it because maybe they aren't getting as offered as many roles then. Or like people who, you know, break up their singing group and like go off solo, sometimes it doesn't work out. I think if you got a good thing going, just do it, like, type of thing.
Because it's a hard business. It's a hard business, and you want to get paid.
And you don't know if that role's going to come around later.
But it's a tough call either way, because you don't want to get typecasted, because as a performer, you do want to explore other avenues.
Challenge yourself.
Right.
But, it's hard. It's like you turn it down, and maybe you don't get ever hired again because you're not well enough known, or maybe you don't turn it down, and you play a nanny / governess for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's a hard call, but I'm glad she did it. Super glad.
Yeah. And then moving on, we also have Captain Georg von Trapp. I love just Georg because I know it's just George, but it sounds so much better than
George. It does sound so much better than George. It's like Cesare for Caesar. It's just a better way of saying it.
And that was played by Christopher Plummer.
Who was drunk.
Who was drunk most of the time on the set.
Really?
Who didn't want to work with children and often called it the sound of mucus.
No.
He just didn't. He was a... He's actually weirdly... He's from Canada... But then he ended up moving to England and doing Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. So at the time he was cast in this role, he was like a veteran, like serious Broadway actor and Shakespearean actor. And so this was a great opportunity because it's a big film. It gives you like possible recognition. You know, obviously, you don't know until it releases.
Yeah.
But once he was there, he kind of... severely regretted it.
He was very against, he didn't want to work with children.
Or maybe he was just like a method actor. No?
No. That's really interesting. It was interesting though because Julie Andrews and him were both going through tough times in their marriages at this point.
Yeah, they were both, like their marriages were imploding.
Were kind of falling apart. Yeah. And so they kind of connected with each other because of that, but they also chose to handle it different ways. Julie Andrews stayed in the hotel room a lot and was with her daughter because her daughter was very young at that age, and he went to bars and drank and got drunk. And
I was watching the Diane Sawyer interview where both of them kind of regret not hooking up on that set because they had such chemistry.
No.
And their marriages were falling apart, and Julie Andrews is like, I was just not that kind of person at the time. Like, you know, even though I knew my marriage was falling apart, she was still trying to, like...
Make it work.
Whereas he was more, like, game, basically.
Wow.
I found that interesting.
That is very interesting.
He also wanted Edelweiss taken out of completely. He did not like the song.
Yeah, I remember that, too. And I was like, no, I like that song. But he was like, I don't want it.
And during the second time he sings that song at the very end of the film, that's when he was, like, super drunk. Like, he barely remembers filming that.
It's and not Julian, his voice, though. It's like his...
No, it's
they
a different
use another
voice.
Actor over his voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can... They showed... On the Diane Sawyer interview, they showed a clip of him singing. He can sing. But it's one of those things where they do a mixture of voices and the mm-hmm. other voice is kind of more...
Prominent.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, so we almost... It would have been Fun a very fact. Different movie.
You know what?
It also makes sense, too, because you're like, he's so sad. And it's like, he's so sad drunk.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it kind of added to his character because the character was supposed to be kind of mean and cold towards the children, so maybe with him not actually wanting to work with children, it helped him.
Maybe. Yeah. I guess so. I feel like it's one of those things where if that were to happen nowadays, like, you would get kicked off a set and recasted.
Yeah.
You know what
Depends,
I'm saying?
Depends, I think, on how big a
Depends
name you
on the actor, because Charlie Sheen was going strong for a while there.
Well, it also depends That's on true. If you can still pull off your acting while being
There
drunk.
Are actors that... do pull off their acting while being severe
and he obviously
alcoholics.
Did because Julie Andrews said that she had no idea that he was drunk.
Oh, wow.
So he was able to pull it off.
So I guess if you're able to pull it off and you show up and you're getting your lines out and you're doing a good job, I guess then maybe they could keep him around. But like if he was stumbling around, you know, being abusive to the children or anything like that, he would have gotten kicked off.
And for all of you maybe up and coming actors out there, they're like, oh, I could totally now drink.
No,
I
we're not
maybe
advocating
advise
that.
Against that.
Yeah, please don't.
Like, no. I would still say maybe don't try that because
Bad
maybe
idea.
You're not the type of person.
Because Charlie Sheen eventually did get fired. Okay?
Yeah, he did. And
there's been many people
well
that
now.
Have been fired for being drunk on yeah. set. So
or
not
being just bad,
idea.
Like very, like not, you know. It comes back to bite you in the ass also if you're just not a decent person to deal with. Like, if you're that difficult, you can be replaced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're new to the film industry.
I think that's
industry.
The biggest misconception is everyone's thinking, oh, well, once I got the role, I can do whatever I want, act however
no,
I
you
want,
can
treat
fired.
However
at
I
any
want.
Point.
You are very replaceable. Like, any actor out there right now in anything, pretty much is very replaceable. So you better count your lucky stars that you're like in that role and like take advantage of it type of thing. Otherwise, you could get kicked out for sure.
I will say though, like working in the entertainment industry, the people I know that are the most successful are usually the kindest people. And yeah. It's like, I feel like that mm-hmm. goes hand in hand. It's like people want to work with you the more you're workable, like yeah. the more you can work.
You
with
can
people.
Stay around for a lot longer and be hired a lot more if you're more. A good person.
Exactly.
Right.
If you are a annoyance to work with, maybe you're the star at the time and they're going to work with you just because you're the name, but you're maybe going to have a 5 or 6 year big time
yeah.
in your
yeah.
life.
Gone are the days where they're going to bankrupt the back lot to pay Liz Taylor. It's yeah. just not happening anymore.
Mm-hmm. I did want to mention Max Detweiler just for a second because the actor isn't too much, but we didn't mention it last week, that Max is not a real character. He was a fictionalized character for the film and the play. We forgot to mention that last week, so I did want to go back to it.
That interesting.
Their real choir director was like a priest mm-hmm. who ended up traveling with
them. That worked with them for like 20 years.
Yeah. Wow. So they kind of added in like the uncle type of feel.
Yeah, I think they wanted to give it a little more.
Yeah, and the thing was they were very close to a lot of their family members, so like kind of making a pretend uncle when they had so many aunts and uncles, it just made sense to stick in a role like that.
Yeah, and yeah. I think they just wanted someone that was a little more, that they could play with a little more in the aspect of,
yeah.
you know, he doesn't need, he can be a kind of like underwheeling kind of person, but is still good on the outside. Like,
and he adds humor. Like, yeah, he does. I think he that's
does.
A humorous
And
role.
He does add the whole thing that was a real, you know, there were a lot of people like this at the time that were against the uprising of the Nazis, but at the same time weren't going to necessarily do anything. So I think that, you know, we have Captain Von Trapp, who's very much against it. We have a lot of people that are very much for it. So I think he was a nice kind of like, I'm not for it, but I'm not going
to
risk
work
my
with
life
these people.
To
yeah.
end it.
Doesn't he say something like, I just make it a point to be friends with everyone type of thing? Isn't
yeah.
that what he said some type of line like that. Yeah. yeah.
So I think that he was kind of a good character also just for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Family dynamic. And then we have the Mother Abyss, who was played by Peggy Wood. And on the same Diane Sawyer thing, it was really funny. The real Mother Abyss said that she didn't like Peggy Wood in the role because she said her voice
could curdle
milk and that she could sing better than her.
No.
Which I was like, wait, aren't nuns supposed to be really nice?
Yeah. Seriously, no one, like, and like, I feel like...
No, but I mean, you're talking about people who are technically Eastern Europeans, and I'm saying this coming from a family full of Eastern Europeans, is like, they have that very, like, wicked sense of humor.
Yeah.
So I don't think she, I mean, I think she was saying it with a certain level of sense of humor, because she was, like, smiling as she said it, but, and the Mother Abbess's voice is, like, a little bit annoying, like, it's a little bit annoying, it's a little bit operatic.
It made sense for me, though, and I because she was much older, so it makes sense, like, she's, like, the wisdom person, so she has this mm-hmm. operatic, like, more...
Traditional
voice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, watching that special and seeing that the real Mother Abbess at the time they did the special was old, I was like, I guess she wasn't as old as they were making her seem in the film. In real life at that time period, because obviously she wouldn't be alive anymore if
right.
that was the case. So that, you know, we fictionalize things for film.
Seriously, there's so many roles in all these different things, like, even in... Like, I mean, a series of unfortunate events. Some of these roles that are, like, supposed to be older roles where people are supposed to be, like, pretty old. Now they're casting
yeah.
them as, like, barely younger. 30. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But it's crazy how people can take things and spin them and, like, try to make it a fresh new story or just make it better for TV. And sometimes it's like, whoa, I didn't realize that they were so much younger or so much older in real life. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, with, like, true stories, it can just be, like, based on a true story, not, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, which this is. They
yeah.
didn't, it's obviously not, as we said last
it's
week,
not
it's not
true.
100% how it happened. And they actually didn't really take her into consideration. Like, she tried, they took, like, some stuff she said, but she had already given away the rights
yeah,
to a German producer.
Yeah, she
so
gave the rights to the book because she needed money at the time to German filmmakers.
Yeah.
They made two films, and then
they
had
the
rights so they could sell
to Hollywood.
It to make the show.
Wow.
So they didn't really, like, she gave them some suggestions, but they were kind of like, we don't really care what you say because
yeah.
we already have
it
the rights.
No Hollywood.
Wow.
It's just your story, don't worry.
Yeah, it's just your life, no biggie.
I do want to talk about Liesl. I don't want to get into all the kids because there's so many and it would take forever.
Right.
But I do want to talk about Liesl, who is Chairman Carr, because she did just die this year.
Oh,
she wrote a book. I haven't read it.
She
called Forever Liesl.
She wrote two books.
Oh, she wrote two.
Yeah, there was one Forever Liesl. I forgot what the other one's called, but it's basically the same kind of thing. But yeah, she became an interior designer. She didn't stay in film. She did a little
Interesting.
Bit.
Wow.
But yeah, she did. I do want to pay respects to her because she did die on September 17th of 2016. So
wow. Makes me like really sad. Everybody
makes me
very
else.
Sad.
Wow. Yeah.
The real Liesel was named. I think I'm pronouncing this right. No, it's Agatha. Agatha von Trapp. I think it's pronounced Agatha. I read her book recently, which the book was published in 2003. She died in 2010. But Liesel wasn't the oldest. Agatha was the second oldest. Mm. But they wanted to have that kind of like romance with Rolf's story, which is not, it was a total fiction. So, but she had a lot of interesting things to say. I haven't read Maria's book either.
My mom has it, and like she was rereading it right now. I'm like, well, let me borrow that when you're done. Yeah. I didn't know we owned that.
But her perspective was really fascinating, and just goes, like, a lot of the things that she said were just hand-in-hand with what Mark already said. So.
Yeah.
But if you want to get it, she drew little drawings as they went along.
Oh, she was the one that drew.
She was the one that drew that frumpy picture of Maria when she first arrived. So if you want to read that, it's a very interesting story. And one of the biggest takeaways to me was that when they left, I mean, you guys mentioned this last week that they left by train. They were technically, because they were citizens of Austria-Hungary before World War I, and then the lines got redrawn after World War I. They were technically Italian citizens, mm-hmm. or Georg was, so that's why they went to Italy. And they were, most of them, because there's only
There were seven children from his first wife,
and then she had three, mm-hmm. but... Like, the last one was...
She was pregnant with her.
She was pregnant with her when they left. But the first seven were almost adults by this age. They were not the same age as they are in the film. Because the film makes it seem like all of this is happening
in a year. The film also
takes
place, like, a lot further along than when she actually joined the family.
Yeah, you're right, though. They make it sound like it happened right in that year. And it was all, like, one of those things. But weren't they married for a while? They had kids?
Yeah, they were married for a while and they had kids before they left, so they were already pretty much older when they left, so they could make their own decisions about joining the Von Trapp family.
It's so crazy because it's one of those things where it looks like, from the outside, when things are saying, based on a true story, you're thinking, oh, it's almost like exactly.
Yeah.
When this is one of those stories that is almost like the furthest thing away from the truth. But there's a few little situations that kind of make it based on a true story, but the majority of it is very different.
A lot of Hollywood stories... When it's based, like, there are some that are very close, but a lot of them they change.
They are,
to make it a better Hollywood.
Yeah. But I do think the important takeaways were that he was invited to join the Nazi military, and he did turn it down. He wouldn't fly.
He did defy.
Flag.
Yeah.
So he did defy them. He did leave, and they did become a singing group essentially. It's just that I do understand for like the Hollywood magic of it all, you have to make it seem like the woman really comes in and like transforms their lives.
And we have to have the love story.
Right. He did call them by whistle, but that was because the grounds were so big you couldn't hear. Says it in the film too. Like he's like,
we don't want just shouting.
We don't want just shouting, but you literally couldn't hear anybody, so that's why he would call them by whistle.
Did the girl you said Agatha?
Agatha.
Did she ever say anything about what she thought about them making up the story of her with Rolf?
It wasn't so much about that. Like that was like a little footnote where she just said that never happened, basically. Mm-hmm. But she did say, and this is something Mark said last week, where most of the children were very upset about the way they portrayed Georg, because he was apparently a very warm and like caring guy, and a lot of them did feel a little bit weird and distanced from the way they were portrayed on film because it's not them, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like it's an entirely different
thing.
Because
they weren't actually vying for their dad's attention, so.
But she did say that at one point, I guess for her 85th birthday, she got invited to the revival, and she met the Liesel who played her in the revival.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that totally transformed her view because she saw how much people loved it, and they kind of gave a nod to her there at that. So I think that for her was, and she was 85 by that point, where she was admitting, okay, now I see how much people love this, and I'm not gonna like be upset with it anymore.
Yeah.
Wow. That took a long time then.
Right? But I would feel the same way, I think. I think I would feel the same way if I saw people portraying me on film and it wasn't true or I didn't...
And you didn't connect with it? Like, you didn't connect with it as in, like, that's me type of
right,
feel. Yeah.
Right.
Moving along, I want to get into the music because there were some changes between the theater show and the film. So we had... They added in the songs Confidence and Something Good. Mm-hmm. Which I love both of those songs.
I love both of those songs. I feel like...
Especially Something Good. It's just, like, one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie.
Didn't they say in the 2020 thing that they were, like, giggling during it, which is why they're in silhouette
Which is funny because the silhouette's, like, one of my favorite things.
Yeah. It was a great choice. Apparently they were giggling, so they couldn't get, like, they didn't want to do a clear close-up because they couldn't stop laughing. So that's why they did the silhouettes, which... I think it's a brilliant choice. It looks
worked
so beautiful.
Out very well for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
And then we, of course, have changed the positions of Lonely Goat Herd and My Favorite Things, which, I mean, like we said, most of us, except for you, Dakota, saw the film first, so it wasn't weird to me that, like, that they were in those positions. I think they work well in those positions. I don't think it takes anything away from the film or the play to have it switched.
I'm just happy that they kept that song, My Favorite Things. That's like my all-time favorite song in the whole
It just makes
thing.
Me happy.
I like her singing it with the kids. And I like the Lonely Goat Herd with the puppet theater.
I love the puppets.
I wanted a puppet theater so bad when I was a kid just because of that.
So many
those
people
are some really
advanced-looking so
puppets.
Yeah, they were. They were super cool.
They could, like, move their eyes and stuff.
My boyfriend, Steven, said that, he's like, it's weird to think that was, like, the Xbox of their time.
Oh, my gosh.
Accurate, though.
You know what? I think I would like that better than an Xbox. I mean, can you imagine having your own little theater, like, that you
I feel
just...
like I would get really frustrated because I would probably, like, accidentally tangle them up. I wouldn't be able to do it, and I'd be like, screw this.
As a child, I had different puppets, and I would just always get them all, their arms and everything just messed up, and I would just be so upset because I wanted to do it so bad.
Me, too. I had a couple little puppets and got them. Tangled, so
yeah. I think I had one puppet that I got from Old Sacramento and I tangled it up.
I'm like,
it's like the first thing that happened. It was like, oh, yeah,
although
I still don't know why
My Favorite Things is associated with Christmas. Because so I'm watching the movie and my boyfriend comes in, and he goes, Christmas is happening, and I was like, no,
Mark,
this is Sound of Music.
Mark did say that it's because when they used to play stuff on like television, it was always
around
Christmas.
It was during Christmas. Okay.
So maybe that's kind of just why we kind of have that imprint.
Okay. Because it's so funny. My boyfriend is from Honduras originally. So for him to like immediately associate with that song with Christmas means like it really must have that
association. And then, of course, they took out How Can Love Survive, No Way to Stop It, and Ordinary Couple, which Ordinary Couples kind of was replaced by Something Good, which I like better. And they did keep, I know that, I don't know about the other two, but I know that they kept the instrumental of How Can Love Survive in the ballroom scene, the party scene.
Oh.
You can hear it in the background is instrumental. Mm. So they did still pay homage to it. Because How Can Love Survive, I think, is the most iconic one that they took out. The other two, I kind of think, were just not that well
known. Isn't like Ordinary Couple the one where it's like very stereotypical and like the roles of the woman and the role of the man?
Yeah, that's the one Mark was talking about.
Yeah.
And since Jackie was not here, we already said our diva songs, but Jackie, what is your diva song?
It's My Favorite Things, and then Edelweiss. And it's funny because as I get older, I watched the film this morning again, and then I watched that end scene where he's singing Edelweiss, and it really, like, I had forgot that the whole audience joins in. Mm-hmm. I had forgot that part, and it's just so powerful, even though that's not a real Austrian folk song or whatever. It's just that moment is so powerful where you have this person saying, you know, I'm standing up in front of you. I'm still going to defy you by singing my country's song.
Mm-hmm. It's like the opposite of the Fatherland song.
Yeah, it's the opposite of the Fatherland song. Which is one of my favorite songs in Cabaret.
I know we talked about how we both like that song, even though it's like... about uprising.
Right.
That song, every time I hear it, just seems magical. The Edelweiss song. So.
It is. I mean, it is.
But it's sad because these songs are, they're all about cultural identity in some way or another. And for the Fatherland song, it's more about, to me, the loss of cultural identity. And so, well, actually, so is Edelweiss.
Mm-hmm. In a way. Like, yeah, because they're losing their identity to something else.
Yeah.
I do want to go over really quickly. I'm just going to kind of read it through because it was nominated for a bunch of... It was actually nominated for or won the same amount of Oscars as it did Tony's, which I thought was...
That's really funny.
It was like 5 for both. Best Picture, it won. Julie Andrews was nominated for Best Leading Actress. Peggy Wood for The Mother Abbess was nominated for Supporting Actress. Won Best Director. It was nominated for Best Cinematography, Best Art Direction, Best Costume Design. It won Best Sound Mixing. It won Best Film Editing. And it won Best Music Scoring of Music Adaptation or Treatment. Wow.
I'm sure Julie Andrews is probably pretty happy she took that role.
Yeah. I mean, well, I just, like I said earlier, I feel good for her because she was so stiffed by not getting... I hate it when Hollywood, and we've said this before, when Hollywood, like, recast non-Broadway actors because they feel they're more bankable, mm-hmm. and then in the end, it's like the Broadway actors turn out to be bankable anyway.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, if you hear someone sing, you want to hear someone sing.
Right. You don't want to have to hear someone who's like kind of like talk singing, as some people do, or you don't want to have it to where someone is, like you said, more someone else is kind of predominantly singing, you know, and they're mouthing it type of thing. No one wants... I mean, if you're going to be like an entertainer and you're going to be cast in something, you're going to want to see them sing, see them act, and that they're the whole package. I think that's important.
And the fact is, if you're a Broadway actor in a hit show on Broadway... They're that good of an actor that an audience who watches you is going to have that same emotion, even if it's a film and they might not know who you are.
Mm-hmm. And this is, ironically and sadly, a great lead-in to... I have a video of Julie Andrews during the 50th anniversary talking about how she lost her voice because she had such a great voice on Broadway. And then she they basically goes about how she has to talk sing now because she can't.
She can't. I think she mentioned on the 2020 thing she ended up... There was some sort of lawsuit, obviously.
Yeah. And, I mean, this is the same. This is from that
one.
So she'll talk about it on there. But, yeah, it's just... It's so terribly sad because she did have such an amazing voice. So...
Gave her a standing ovation. Gaga shaking so hard.
I love that.
I love
Gaga
so much.
Sung from the Sound of Music.
The songs famous and no longer sing those notes herself. In June 1997, she had a problem in her throat, strained from performing so long on Broadway. It was supposed to be a simple procedure to correct it. When it was over, her singing voice was gone.
You sang in a movie. You sang in The Princess Diaries?
Very, very lightly. Very.
Her singing in Princess Diaries.
Dear little girl.
So sad for me.
You are terribly blessed, but it's your heart of gold I love the best.
I didn't have a voice really at that point, but... It was nice, just for a second. Mm-hmm. I've got some bass notes still, because I had that miserable operation, which I really can't talk about.
It's part of a legal settlement years ago.
I still do have about 5 bass notes, so I could do a good blues song or a version of Old Man River if you really want.
You had to wrestle with depression.
I did.
She had 4 additional surgeries, but her voice never returned. She began to write children's books with her daughter, Emma, now all grown up, but she was struggling.
Yeah, I was carrying on and wallowing in my misery one day, and we had begun writing our stories together, Emma and I, and she said, Mom, you've just found a different way of using your voice. Mm. And it was as if a great weight dropped from my shoulders.
I love that her daughter said that.
Yeah.
I love that her daughter said that.
I mean, when you're known for your voice, then it's gone.
Well, yes.
When something like that is part of your identity and part of your career, it's like, who are you now?
Yeah.
You know?
The octave that I go at the end of the do, re, mi and all of that. Would I like to do that? Yes.
Aww.
I probably wouldn't be singing these days anyway because I'm very old and voices get a little tired, but I'd like to be able to have a go at it.
Yes.
I really would.
She's...
This snow is just... crazy.
That makes me want to cry, guys.
I'm not crying. What?
it's a really hard thing to have to deal with when that your entire life has been made up because of your voice. I mean, even her as a child, like, was known for her voice, and to have that being taken away from you unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm. Becca's legit, like, tearing up. Aww.
You're not alone, Becca. I'm dying in the booth right now because Julie Andrews was the voice of my childhood. So,
class.
Yeah, and so my grandmother had the same range as Julie Andrews, and now that she's in her 70s, she's having a hard time hitting those notes, but she still sings even though it hurts.
Wow.
So,
as you get older, it does become, like she said, it's harder to sing. Your voice changes just as it changes when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I do like about Julie Andrews, though, is that when she sang, she made it seem so effortless. Like, you watch other singers, even if they're great singers, it looks like they're trying to sing. Like, she just, it's just a part of her.
Okay.
Yeah. It is just, it's very effortless.
And to get that, like, stripped away from you, I can only imagine that would just throw you in the worst type of depression, for sure.
Which is, like Jackie said, like, her daughter saying that probably did save her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Julie Andrews is the type of person that, like, inspires other people, or has inspired other people to sing based on Sound of Music and Mary yeah. Poppins and
all that. Of course. Yeah. Of course.
She's, like, everyone's, like, grandmother in a
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, even, like, when the Disneyland did the 50th anniversary and she was in the fireworks special, like, yes. she starts off being like, 50 years ago. And I'm just like, oh, Julie Andrews. It's just, she just has one of those voices that just makes you feel like, very welcomed and, like, she would accept anybody or something. Yeah. I don't know. She just seems like the overall most warm person ever yeah. based on her voice. And then I do want to talk about the cultural impact it has had, because this has been... Sound of Music has been used in so much throughout the years. We have sing-alongs. It was in Will and Grace. Fans still go to Salzburg and recreate scenes. They do the tour, like Jack said. There's a tour in Salzburg that's that really you can
cool.
do.
We should go.
Okay.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Group trip.
You going to pay, Becca?
Yeah,
Becca. Paying for that?
Field trip.
Maybe we can find a Groupon. It'll be fine.
The Salzburg Groupon. Yes.
It's only $1,500.
Yeah. Groupon for plane flights.
And my mom actually, like, I wanted to mention this because I think it's just such a fun story. She loves the march, the wedding march from Sound of Music.
Oh,
and she was
going
to use it as her wedding march. She got talked out of it by my Aunt Joyce, and she regrets it. She Aww. Said if she renewed her vows, she would.
And then
do it to
everybody
the
could
march.
Sing, "How do you solve a problem like Maria?" She's walking down the aisle. As a kid, that one thing, though, I always thought was a little bit rude because I'm like, yeah, there's a song that's basically like, you're kind of an asshole and you shouldn't be a
you're
nun.
Screwed.
Yeah. And they're like singing it as she's getting married.
How do you solve, yeah.
And I did want to show one clip. I picked one because from Family Guy, because I think it's probably the most recognizable to today's generation.
I have confidence in sunshine.
It's, yeah, that.
I have confidence in sunshine.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I have
it's literally
confidence
just...
in rain. I have confidence that spring will come again. Besides which, you see, I have confidence in me.
That is so
Oh, baby
funny.
Stewie.
But so this, like, it just goes to show the depth that Sound of Music has on people and how mm-hmm. relevant it still is nowadays.
Exactly.
I mean, no one, you could start singing Do Re Mi and everybody in the world would start singing along with you. No one doesn't know. Even if they don't know it comes from that show, they
yeah,
know that song.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not only is it like a beautiful family tale, but it's also a tale of like standing up for what you believe mm-hmm. in, mm-hmm. you know, and standing up for yourself.
In multiple different ways.
Yeah.
Because standing up for him treating his children right, standing up for your country, standing up for going, it's like, it has so many layers of that. So...
Oh, fun fact I forgot to mention. He was going to marry a baroness. The children never met her, but he was going to marry a baroness.
I didn't
but,
read that, so.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's in Agatha's book.
What is Agatha's book called, just in case we have viewers that want to
read
it?
It has her name. It's like Agatha Von Trapp and some sort of subtitle, like
okay.
the Story of the Sound of Music or something
so
like that.
So look up that name and it'll probably pop up.
Yeah, it should. I
just look up
that.
Agatha Von Trapp.
Yeah.
So that's about all I have for the film. I do want to save some time because I do have news and gossip I want to get into for before the end of it. Does anyone have anything, though, that they would like to add about the film before we wrap that part up?
Just how it's iconic and
yeah.
literally it's timeless, and I'm obsessed.
Oh, other fun fact. Sorry. And the butler was going to give them... The butler was a Nazi sympathizer, mm-hmm. but he told them. He was like, I'm going to have to tell on you. And that is what led them to leave.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That, so, like, the butler was saying, like, I'm going to have to tell on you. So then they escaped because they knew that they were...
Yeah,
because
at least
they
he was a little
were,
bit nice about
yeah.
it. At least he told them.
Right. I guess. I mean, yeah.
Otherwise,
I mean, otherwise they probably would have
right.
not made it out, yeah.
Yeah, that was in Agatha's book, too.
Also, I believe the borders... they left on the train to Italy, and then I believe the next day the borders closed. So if they'd waited
oh
one
God.
More day, they wouldn't have been able to leave.
It's still weird, though, because they went to the U.S., they toured in the U.S., and then they came back in, like, the next year and were touring in... unoccupied countries in Europe. So I was like, that's playing with danger, but
yeah.
you did that.
That
yeah.
is very scary.
Yeah.
At least we can look back on it after the fact and be like, well, at least it worked out for them.
Right?
I mean, can you
no
imagine, though,
tale.
Like, going in and doing that and being like, oh, hopefully no one crashes our party here. Like, it's
right?
kind of scary and a little ballsy, but
it's always
okay.
behind your shoulder.
Yeah.
So moving on to our news and gossip section, I have some stories that I did want to talk about a little bit. Hamilton... of course, the musical that is just breaking tons of records everywhere has now joined another one. and it is the 8th musical to have an album reach over 7 figures since 1991.
Wow.
It's on the ranks now of The Lion King, Mamma Mia, Les Miserables, The Phantom of the Opera, Wicked, Jersey Boys, and Rent, which are the only other musicals to have done that since 1991. So, cheers to Hamilton.
Cheers.
If anyone ever has the
money. Guys, right now.
Cheers. Well, they're touring through LA.
They are.
Wait, they are?
Yeah, tickets are like cheapest tickets are like $800-something dollars. So if you're able to go, Groupon? Let me know how it is. I'm going to put my name in for the lottery and see if it works out.
I love that, Becca. Groupon. Yeah, definitely.
The Groupons are $700.
Okay, well, let's
go. That's a bit more affordable.
Groupon isn't told yet. But if anyone, if I happen to be able to go, I'll let you guys know how it is if you aren't. And if anyone else in our fan group is able to go, let us know how it is. Because unless I win the raffle, I don't think I'll be going.
Hook us up.
Hook us up, yeah. Well, I mean, we can cover it.
Send us tickets, you know.
We can cover it as press, you know. No big deal.
Me and Jack would be more than happy to take those tickets if you want to give them to us.
Yeah.
For free.
We'll give you a shout-out on the show.
Also in news, Tony Awards is going to be coming back to Radio City Music Hall, which it hasn't been in since 2010.
When?
This year, for the Tony Awards.
But when is...
They're what June day is 11th, it? I believe.
Let's go.
Becca's already all about
spending money. You have like free fire points? What's happening here?
I'm like more than willing to go, Becca. This is the thing. Like if you make it happen, I will go to Salzburg. I will go to New York.
Yeah. Right after this, we're going to Salzburg. We're taking the Sound of Music tour. We're going to come back. We're going to watch Hamilton. And then after that, we're going to go to the Radio City
Music
Hall.
All on Becca's ticket. I'm so glad you're willing to pay for this.
Let's just add it to Becca's tab.
I'm really excited that they're going back to Radio City Music Hall, though, because I think it's such an iconic place where the Tony Awards have been held forever. And it's just a really beautiful venue inside. Mm-hmm. The stage is huge, and you can do so much with it. So I'm happy that it's going back there.
I just think Christmas when I think of
Radio City Music Hall.
Because I went to the Rockettes spectacular thing.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Like 2011.
Wow.
Also, I forgot to say with Hamilton that, and now I'm blanking on the name. What's his face? Was gonna be in Chicago. He's gonna take over the role of Aaron Burr. Ugh, why am I blanking on his name? He was in that improv show that used to be. Whose Line Is It?
Oh yeah, I can see his face.
And he's just in Kinky Boots.
He was so good in
that. Wait, Todrick?
No, not Todrick. He was in the touring of Kinky Boots.
It's on our Broadway breakdown site.
Oh, that's
he was really
so
good
much.
On Whose Line Is It Anyway, by the way.
Wait, what? Who?
I mean, if I knew, I would say that.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay.
I'm trying to remember.
Just Google new Aaron Burr in Chicago.
Yeah. It's Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady.
Just sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's going to be taking over Aaron Burr in Chicago.
He'll be great.
Yeah, I think he'll do a really good job. Yeah. And next in is we have... that John Legend and Ariana Grande are going to be doing a duet of Beauty and the Beast for the new film. It's going to be most likely in the end credits because Emma Thompson's going to be singing the one during the film.
Oh, nice! Wow. I like all these things.
I'm actually more nervous for Emma Thompson than for them because, like, Angela Lansbury is so iconic.
Yeah. But Emma I think Thompson she'll do a is great very job. Iconic,
yeah,
too.
No, I know. She'll do a great job. It's just going to be, like, I'll have to listen to it twice.
Yeah.
The first time I'll be like, this is an Angela Lansbury. And the second time I'll be like, okay, it's Emma Thompson. I'm okay with it.
I thought Hermione sounded good when she sang. Emma.
Yes. Which I do have the trailer of her singing.
Okay.
So we're going to play that as well for you guys.
Hello? I wanted more than I can tell.
Come into the light.
For once it might be
great.
What if she is the one?
To have someone understand.
Pleased to meet you.
I want so much more than they've got planned.
Disney's Beauty and You can tell, I mean, you can obviously tell her voice is heavily auto-tuned, but I think she sounds good.
Yeah, she sounds a lot better than I thought she was going to, which is
I just
a
didn't
very
know
big
she
relief.
Could sing, so that, well, I mean, yeah, to me, like, this is, it sounds like the role, it fits.
Yeah, that was the main thing for me. I was like, I don't know if she can sing. I don't know.
So I might not see her in a Broadway production, but for a movie, I think
good. I think that's really awesome. It's one of those things. I'm definitely going to be, like, the night it opens, going to try to go because, like, Beauty and the Beast, that was my very first introduction as a child. I played Chip the Teacup. So
that was, like,
my very first ever role, and that's what got me into the entertainment industry and what
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful.
See, and you post a picture.
I will.
I'm actually more upset about, like, the animation of, like, even Chip and stuff than, like, her voice, like, I was worried about, and then I saw, like, the animation, her voice is fine, and the animation's kind of like, I don't know about all this, some of this animation's a little weird.
Yeah,
to me.
The animation of the Beast, some people were saying the Beast is too ugly, that's not it for me.
He's too, like, human.
Yeah, I think that's what it is for me. I'm like, the animation is so weird because they clearly took, that Downton Abbey guy's face.
I think they were just trying to make it more humanized, so it's not like it was like.
But I think that's the whole
beastie
thing.
Stuff. Bestiality, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stuff. But the whole thing is that he is a beast and wants to become back to human.
Right.
So
it's so weird because you can just tell it's like they totally just avatared his face.
The human version of him is really hot.
It is avatar.
It is. It's like they stuck the stickies on his face and did the avatar thing.
Yep.
Well, sure anyway, that the film is going to come out on March 17th, and the album will be out on March 10th. So
and we're discussing it here.
We will be discussing it here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Kick me in.
Me too.
Chip the teacup.
Yes.
And then my last little bit of news, and I know Jackie has something that she's going to mention too, but my last bit of news is that they're going to be making a Broadway play based off of Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief.
Wow. I think that's great.
I think visually could be done so well. And I would be super excited to see how they, you know, incorporate like.
And
the
it's
going to
be a musical, or
I believe so because I didn't see anything about music, but they did mention a choreographer and all this stuff. So I do think that it's going to have, if not singing music, it'll have music and dancing scenes. So I'm not sure how they're going to do it.
That's awesome.
And
I think it sounds kind of cool.
Weird.
Becca looks very concerned.
That sounds interesting.
It's going to be starring.
Hey, they did it with Harry Potter. Okay.
I still don't know if I like the movie though.
Well, maybe you'll like the play.
Did you like the book though? I liked the book.
I don't know if she read the book.
Oh.
I didn't.
That looks very bothered.
That's why you think it's interesting, because you don't know what it's about.
No, I've watched the movie.
Well, it's going to star Chris McCarroll, who was in Les Miserables Marius. He's also in Pippin, Sweeney Todd, Next to Normal, which just makes me think it's going to be singing.
Yeah.
And he was also just in Netflix's The OA. And he was also a Lost Boy in the Peter Pan Live. Hmm. So... this is the weird part to me, is that they just announced this, and it's going to be premiering at the Lucille Lortel Theater on March 23rd, and is opening on April 4th.
So, like,
and
tomorrow.
Closing on May 6th. But there's no... The cast hasn't been announced yet, and...
Yeah,
Alexis
is like, what?
No, because it sounds like, you know how like we have like pop-up stores here in LA where they pop up for
it's
like a weekend?
Musical.
It's a pop-up musical.
It's
like,
a pop-up
what is
musical.
This?
Oh my god. Wait. Isn't that just a what's it called? When everyone all of a sudden just starts singing around you?
Oh,
Flash Mob. Yeah.
It's just a flash mob.
A lightning thief.
It's a flash mob.
I'm okay.
Percy Jackson and the Flash Mob.
It's a flash mob in a theater where you buy tickets.
Yeah, I was like, well, I have to pay for a flash mob? This is ridiculous.
Let's go be part of the flash mob. I can't dance, though.
Yeah. You don't always need to, as long as you can have a good smile and singing voice.
That's right.
I can't sing either.
I had an old dance teacher who used to tell me, dancing is from the waist up. If you look good from the waist up, it don't matter what messy business you're doing below.
Right.
Unless someone really knows dance, that is. Obviously, a person who really knows dance is going to know you fucked up. Right. But most of the audience is like, oh, they look so cute from their
from
face.
Far away.
And their
from
hands.
Their face.
And I do know we have to wrap it up. So, Jackie, what is the news that you had for us?
I saw Amelie. They had it here.
Sorry,
Rebecca's
face.
they
is it still here, Jackie, or is it gone?
What?
Is it still here, or is it gone? Here in
I
LA?
Think it's still here.
Okay, because I wanted
it's
to
still
see
here.
It.
So. Yeah.
Let's go, Alexis.
I saw it. It's super cute. It's so cute. It has Philippa Sue in it, and it's traveling to Broadway. So it started in where? San Francisco, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it came to LA, where I'm assuming they workshopped it some more, and now it's going to Broadway. But it's super cute. I guess you can't find... I tried to find the music online. I couldn't, and I was really depressed about it, because there are some really cute songs.
They're going to wait for that Broadway soundtrack to come out. Well, that's great. So, yeah, if you have the chance to go see it here, and then if not, if you're in New York, see it on Broadway.
And there's a lot of, like, puppetry going on, which was a lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool. So that's all the time we have for today, guys. Make sure you come back next week. We're going to be discussing Hedwig and the Angry Inch, the theater version.
And if you like Rodgers and Hammerstein, we're doing The King and I after that.
Yes.
Oh,
so.
Cool.
And that is in LA at the moment.
Yes.
Until the 28th.
The production in LA is so freaking good. I'm not even a fan that much of The King and I saw it and I was like, this is great.
So one last time, guys, where can they find you? Starting with you, Becca.
Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Becca B Talks TV.
123 Jackie B on all platforms.
You guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
And of course, you can find me at BFIPS14. And make sure you like and subscribe. Comment down below on iTunes, wherever you're listening to this.
We have a Facebook page, too.
We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter, Broadway B-Down. So make sure you let us know. And let us know what your diva song is and what you want to see from us next. Bye, guys.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed here are those of the host only.